Today on The Grave Talks, we continue our conversation with Jen Plastini and Holly Faust about demystifying witches. One thing that Holly and I talked about when we did our episode together, which I really enjoyed our conversation, by the way.
Me too.
We talked about you being a psychic medium. Do you think that those two things are connected in any way? Do you see a connection between witchcraft and your psychic abilities, or between witchcraft and paranormal activity? Can one kind of summon the other?
I don't see a correlation, because I think if you, like, I'm an interfaith minister. So for me, there's stories about psychics and, you know, whether they want to call them that or not, in every faith, you know, they just call them different things. You know, a lot of the saints in the Catholic Church could be considered psychics. A lot of the, you know, people that I can't remember the term in other forms of Christianity, but, you know, they get up in front and speak in tongues and they give messages to the church. You know, those people that have psychic gifts. Like, if you look back in the Christian side of things, they call them the gifts of the Spirit, and it's prophecy is one of the gifts of the Spirit. So I think any faith can have a psychic or a medium but I just think, depending upon what faith you're from, will be dependent upon what you call yourself.
So really, for you, it's kind of different lanes in your life. You have a lot of different lanes, actually.
Unfortunately, I'm still trying to learn how to navigate them all.
I don't know how you keep up with yourself. And Jen, do you have any of that kind of ability as well, like Holly does?
Yes, all of them.
Now, have you always kind of had those abilities? Like, are you like a medium?
Yes. I have always. I did sort of shut it down for a while because it scared the ever-living you-know-what out of me at one point. And I just kind of like just blocked it out for a while. And then in my early 20s, it started kind of reopening. And I accepted it and just tried to work with it and be, you know, less scared of what I was seeing, hearing, feeling, all of that. And it is an integral part of my practice. I use it in my healing practice. I use it in my formulation of products for people. It's just part of me.
Kind of the way you describe it a little bit is also rather meditative.
Mm-hmm.
Could that have opened you up a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. Meditation is amazing. And there's a misconception that you have to like completely clear your mind to meditate, and that's just not true. Your brain thinks, that's what it does. So if you're having thoughts in your brain, it just means that it's working. So meditation is something where you can focus. You can give yourself something to focus on. And for me, when I'm creating, I am focused. I am in that meditative state, intuiting what this person needs.
Because you could kind of, in the both of you, I could see where you could bring in different aspects. Like if you're wearing your hat as a medium, that maybe some other things you do also are used at the same time.
100%.
You guys are really giving me stuff to think about today, and I really appreciate that.
And that's always a good thing, because, you know, we need to be questioning and thinking about so much anymore with the way the world is.
And because I think that one thing, as soon as you say, like, when you talk about magic, and people are like, obviously that has ill will because it's magic. So that makes the intention somehow different, when really it's not. It's just a term that they're not used to using. Right. And I don't think they understand what you mean by magic. But how does that play into your daily life? And I'll start with you, Holly, because like I think when we were talking last time, you were talking about when the kids are sick and giving them certain concoctions that my mother never did.
I always find that so weird too. Like, cause when I'll, you know, I'll tell my friends, you know, oh, well, I feel all congested. And I'll be like, well, make an onion bolus. And they'll be like, what's that?
Never heard of it.
Yeah. And basically it's just boiling the skins of an onion and soaking a towel in it and wrapping it around your chest to help draw out the cold. But I thought these were normal things that people had done for them, like elderberry syrup. I thought everybody's grandmother made elderberry syrup for them in the wintertime. I never realized until I went away to school and I was away from my family that this stuff wasn't done for people. Mm-hmm. And I still, like, I, you know, my kids get modern medicine, but at the same time, I use the concoctions and the herbs and the things that I grew up with, because I think they can complement one another and work together. And yeah, for me, it was a whole new world when I found out that people, you know, went to the doctor so much, because before I met my husband, I maybe went to the doctors like only when I was really sick. So, you know, it was a whole new world that opened up to me. And I try to teach my kids the same thing. I would rather see my grandchild getting something that comes from the earth that may not harm him. But at the same time, if it's really bad, I'll say, you know, you need to take him to the doctor. He needs an antibiotic.
Mm-hmm. Because you understand, it's like, now I've done what I can do. Because you wrote a book called Witch's Book of Things. And there is a herbal magic chapter in there about how you can invite many things to your life, love, protection, health, and wealth using different herbs. And you, I don't even know how many herbs that you mention in here, like African violet, spirituality, protection, and healing. How did you get all this information? Like, this seems like years of study to understand.
It is. I'm currently working on a second book that's focusing on just herbs. And I have been working on that 2 years now, because I'm not just looking at one aspect. There's a great encyclopedia that we have as magical practitioners of herbs, but there's nothing that I've found in one book that encompasses the magical and the medicinal parts of herbs. And I think having them both together in one place, because I'm a book nerd, so I have books everywhere in my house for all different types of herbs and medicines and natural health and natural healing, but nothing that encompasses the herbal side of things, because there's so many of them. And like I said, it's taking me, I'm still on the seas after 2 years.
Like, let's talk about apple, because you even have, which I feel like I should do myself, place 7 apple seeds in a bag with orris root to attract sexual love. Which I'm like, that probably wouldn't be a bad idea for me. But, well, but or
apples
or,
are known. When you for their intention, in not only, like, if you think about it in the Bible, they were an attraction for lust.
True,
because Adam allegedly ate the apple. We don't know what the fruit was, but it's been an apple. So, like, when people are using, you know, apples and magic, they can use it for those spells that are to, you know, invoke love and lust and even luck.
And because, like, there's even little section here, when doing a house blessing, cut an apple in half, eat half, and put the other half outside of the home as an offering, which I think is a really beautiful idea. You know,
I'm very much into offerings. And I think it's because of my path. My path is very animistic. We believe that everything has a soul and everything has a specific energy. When I'm feeling stressed or I'm feeling troubled, I hug a tree because I feel that that dryad or that tree spirit is comforting me. It was something my grandfather taught me from a very, very young age. So yeah, I mean, offerings are something, like, people come to my house, there'll be stuff laying out in the ground in my front yard, and I'll be like, don't touch that. That's for the fairies.
It's also fascinating to me, like, because I'm just kind of scrolling through, like, bergamot. You can carry in a sachet while gambling to draw luck and money. But I'm not saying that, you know, you've got to load up on all these. But to me, I think that you also are creating, you know, a focus on, okay, not that I'm going to go gambling tonight and I'm going to win a bunch of money. We all do. I mean, Of course, nobody goes into the casino going, I'm probably going to lose today, but whatever. I'm going to give him $100 anyway. You know, but I think you create an intention when mm-hmm. you do these sorts of things. Do you do much of that, Jen, with the herbs and offerings as well?
Yes. I love what I call a brevi bag, otherwise known as a mojo bag or a sachet, where you put some herbs, some crystals, you know, maybe you make your own little sigil that represents what you want to accomplish. And then you keep it on you as like a reminder.
Mm-hmm.
And it is about focusing your energy, and that, you know, if your focus is, I want to win money tonight, and you spend your energy, your intention on creating this thing that you can hold that represents all of that, it just adds oomph to it. It, you know, puts that out into the universe.
And that makes sense to me, because yeah. you can actually physically hold it. And it's like, I put this together. This is going to help me win some money tonight. And, but whatever it might be, I'm not just talking about money. That's just an easy example.
Right.
Now, when, like, day to day, do you have certain things, and it could change day to day, obviously, that you know, or a certain time set aside each day to kind of focus on you and the intentions for the day, or the things that are coming up that you need to prepare for? Do you do anything like that, Jen?
I try to. I am not good about doing it every day as I should, because you should take time for yourself every day. But oftentimes, yes, I will just go sit quietly and kind of just assess where my mind is at, where my body is at, and think about what is it that I need to do today? What do I want to accomplish today? Where's the moon at today? Where, you know, like all of those things.
And I'm glad you brought up the moon, because I wanted to talk about that. And Holly, in your book, that's where it starts, is with the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little about how the moon comes into the practice.
For me, I will admit I am not as, I always say I'm a lazy witch, because, you know, I'll remember it's a full moon right before I go to bed. So I'll drag a case of water out on the porch to get moon water.
Same.
But yeah, it's, you know, and I always admit that, you know, I know the moon, you know, each cycle is representation of, you know, different aspects of your life and what type of magic you want to do. But for me, I still struggle, and I've been doing this for so long, and I still struggle with the moon magic. And that's why I think I started my book with it, because I wanted to be able to work on that, like, you know, the new moon, the waxing crescent, the quarter, the gibbous. I wanted to work with all those cycles, but I still struggle for myself, because basically the moon, the way I was taught, is the moon is a representation of life. It's life, death, and being born again over and over and over again. It's a cyclical thing. And, you know, you take in the things that you want. I believe it's, you manifest during the new moon. Jen, you can correct me if I'm wrong, because I suck at this part. And those manifestations are supposed to come to you during the full moon, if I'm thinking correctly.
So what I have learned is that, so when the moon is waning, that is going from full to new, you're releasing, right? Because the moon is getting smaller. So you're releasing that which does not serve you, to make space for that that you're going to manifest after the dark moon.
There you go. That's, yeah, that's what I was trying to say, but said in a better way.
Jen said it quite beautifully.
Yeah, because I always tell that, even to witches I'm mentoring, whenever we get into moon magic, I'm like, I'm learning this with you, because it has always been one of my biggest areas of struggle. Like herbalism, I could do off the top of my head. Yeah, you know, I always use my books and stuff like that, but I'm more focused on that. I'm more focused on manifesting. I'm more focused on, you know, cord breaking and little spells like that, that I grew up with as part of my life. But the moon was just not stuff that I truly, and that's why I put an importance in it, because so many witches, like, I love the moon and I love the powers that you can get from the moon. But for me, it's always been a struggle.
How about you, Jen?
I usually know what phase we're in. I usually, you know, and I'm good about, like, if I want to accomplish a certain goal, I'll look at what moon phase are we in. Okay, do I need to be releasing or do I need to be manifesting, you know, where am I at? Because if I want to achieve this goal, I can go about it any number of different ways.
And are there certain things that you would do that you would need to check the moon first? It's like, I'm planning on something.
And yeah, if you want to attract something into your life, you probably want to do it going towards the full moon.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because if you're concentrating on money and it's time for release, the universe is like, oh, you want to release money? Okay, cool.
Yep. Say goodbye to it.
Yeah.
Now, do you take different practices like candle magic, the herbal magic, and put those things together?
All the time.
Yep, all the time.
With the moon and the phases of the moon.
I try to. I know I always add, I don't do color magic. I talk about it in my book, but it's not something I practice. I use white candles and I use herbs to take place of that color. So if I'm looking, you know, for something for love, I look for the herbs that would be more intent on self-love and love and putting love out than I would to use like a candle, a colored candle. Because I was taught, you know, there was no colored candles back in the day. Right. So they used white for everything.
Right. White is like the universal. You can use it for anything. Color candles are a good visual representation, you know, if you can get your hands on them. I call it that, something like that, a nice to have. It's nice to have, but yep, you don't really need it.
Now let's talk just for a minute about divination and witchcraft.
Yes, it's absolutely necessary before any spell work. Mm-hmm.
And what do you mean by that? So what do you do before spell work then?
Any form of divination that you kind of resonate with, use a pendulum, tarot cards, scrying, kind of any of the above. And it's basically just to determine if this is the best course of action.
Mm-hmm. So do most witches also practice divination in whatever way they might do it?
I believe so. If not, it's probably because they weren't taught.
Oh, that makes sense. Holly, what do you do?
I read cards. I do a lot. I go to my cards for everything. I ask a lot of questions to the cards. I do oracle cards, which are a little bit different than tarot. And I have different decks that I utilize for different things. But I'm also more recently been finding myself relying on a pendulum. I ask questions to a pendulum. I help set space with my pendulum. And I've even started using the pendulum a lot more in my work in the paranormal. So I kind of incorporated that. And now this weekend, I actually got my first set of witches' runes, which are a little bit different than the traditional Norse runes. So I'm going to be looking at and researching and learning a little bit more about casting the witches' runes.
I want witches' runes.
I got them in Gettysburg, and they were the last set they had, so I knew they were meant for me.
Obviously. Do you ever find that it's hard to make the decision? For example, I used to work for a man, and every decision that had to be made, he owned a dinner theater, every decision that he made, because I was a waitress at the theater, he would use the pendulum. And it could be, you know, how much extra beer should we order for the weekend? I mean, it need to be something more specific than that, because you can't really spell out five cases. But he used it for everything. Do you sometimes find or know people that it's almost a crutch for them? Because I kind of felt like that with him, that if he could listen to his own intuition, but I don't know that he was ever really comfortable in that. And he used the pendulum for most every decision he had to make.
Yes, I do believe that there are people that do that. It's like they lack confidence in their decision making or their intuition. They just don't trust themselves. And so they feel like they need this external validation about what they want to do.
Because I remember years ago when I was late teens, early 20s, and I read tarot cards, I kind of got to where I would want to know what they said all the time. So I felt like it was more of a crutch for me because I wasn't trusting my own instinct.
Right. But a lot of times if you have a gut instinct and then you pull a card, it's going to match.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be exactly what you thought. A lot of people have taken to, rather than like say pulling a card for themselves for the day in the morning, they'll wait until the evening and they'll pull a card, and it's easier to see how that played into their day.
Yep. I can attest to that because I struggle with trusting my intuition. And I just went through a thing where I was bound and determined that I thought the universe was telling me to get a job. So I went out and I got a job, and I was supposed to start it on the 14th, but I pulled out of it today because everything came crashing down yesterday. And I realized the universe wasn't telling me to get a job. The universe was telling me to help my husband more with his job.
Oh, interesting.
And the universe let me know by everybody in my house going into complete meltdown that I was not headed down the right path. And I swore up and down that that was what the universe was telling me. I needed to go out and get a job.
I am so happy to hear that you pulled out of that job, because honestly, when I saw you post about it, I was like, why is she doing that?
See, you knew.
Well, and you have a complicated household too, I might add, people need you. And so, your time might be better spent with your loved ones.
Yeah. And I honestly, and that's what was happening, I was starting to get mentally ill, worrying about who was going to take care of my grandson on the few days that I have him, worrying about who was going to be taking my daughter and my mother-in-law to medical appointments, and, trying to figure out all these things. And I'm looking at all the appointments I had to reschedule, all of the, stuff within my paranormal work I had to reschedule. And I was just like, yeah, this isn't what I'm supposed to be doing. And I had a long discussion, and my husband's like, well, just come work for me more.
This is such an easy solution.
Trying to tell me.
This is way better. And Jen, I saw that you offer a class or a weekly gathering, I guess. So it's for people interested in exploring the world of witchcraft. And it's So You Want to Be a Witch. I thought that was really interesting. And it kind of is an introduction to witchcraft and kind of what we've talked about a little today, I'm going to guess.
Yep. Yeah, it's just, and each week it's different. I'm kind of a make stuff up as I go along. And so I don't really plan it out. It's just whatever inspires me that week, that's what we're going to do during class. So last week we made intentional tea. So I let them kind of set what intention they wanted their tea for, and then pick herbs based on that.
So by intentional tea, so they have, how would you do that? Like you want something to come to you. Maybe you're struggling with bills or something.
It would be more like a personal, like, okay, something that you would drink every night as part of your winding down for the day, or something.
Oh,
that
I
you
like
would
that idea.
To start your day, it's something, it's ritualistic in nature, where you would just sit down, kind of ceremonial. So it should represent you and what you want your life
And
to
once
be.
Again, I think that's a beautiful thing to do. So many of us drink tea every day. And you could take that, make it a little bit more about you. And, you could add in different herbs that you wanted to. Mm-hmm. You could take the time to stir it, like you were talking about earlier.
Yep.
And thinking about it.
You want it to taste good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it, you know, there's something to be said for medicinal where you're picking the herbs based on this is what it's going to do for me. But when you're going to drink something every day, you want it to actually taste good. You want to enjoy it.
Say, I agree with that. I hope that our conversation today has kind of demystified it a little bit and made it, you know, it's, I think witches, obviously people are like, oh, they're casting spells. It's demonic worship. It's all this. And it's not. And that's when Holly and I were talking about this the other day. I'm like, I just want to do an episode on this and kind of explore what it's like.
Yeah, we're just healers. We just want our little cottages in the woods and make stuff.
Yep, I agree. I have mine almost in the woods. So.
Well, nature is taking mine back, so I might be in the woods.
Now, Holly, you have a website, and people can get more information about you at hollyfaust.com, and we'll put a link up again on the show notes. And if you haven't heard our other episode, go back and listen, because I thought that was really interesting, a very different side of you. And, Jen, you have a store, and they can get more information. It's shopamoss, M-O-S-S, shopamoss.com.
Yes.
And they can get information about the shop and maybe a little about you.
Yes, there is a section in there, Meet the Practitioners, and there's a little bit of bio on there. Mostly people get to know me by coming in.
Well, and then there's a Facebook page too.
Yes.
And so you can follow that as well. So you can reach out to either of these ladies anytime if you have questions. Easy to find their information.
Absolutely.
But thank you so much for taking the time to really dive into this today. I enjoyed the conversation and I learned a lot.
I'm grateful that more people are willing, because you're actually the second person that I talked to today that wanted to focus solely on demystifying witchcraft. So I'm so appreciative that people are wanting to bring it forward and take that negative stigma away.
Absolutely.
Oh, you bet. I just thank you both for sharing so openly with us today. It was really interesting. And that wraps up our conversation with Holly Faust and Jen Plastini about demystifying witches. For more information on them, you can find links to their websites in the show notes. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free, or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you so much for listening.